Happy New Year and welcome back to Maven's Talk. If this is your first time listening, this is the podcast where we spotlight the brilliant women driving change in San Antonio. Each episode, we dive into real conversations about leadership, purpose, challenges, and triumphs, because behind every powerful mission is a woman with a story worth telling. This is Maven's Talk, where women lead and stories inspire. And I'm here with my co-host and colleague, the one and only Paige Blindberry.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be hosting with you, Carrie Gooch Dyer. I'm super excited about our guest today. She's an inspiring woman that is a native San Antonian. I'm excited to introduce everyone to her. We are joined by Cecily Armstrong. She has had a 25-plus year career in New York and Los Angeles. This has made her a nationally recognized leader in media and entertainment. She is CEO of The Bear Studios, Cecily Studios, and Women in Film and Television Texas. And that's where I know her from because I am a member.
Yay!
She is the founding executive producer of the Celestial Awards, which are coming up, and the Texas Media Entertainment Summit. An award-winning producer, publisher, speaker, and curator, Cecily has created original programming, live events, and premium content for major networks, venues, and brands worldwide. Today, she continues to pioneer innovative storytelling, audience growth, and emerging media platforms from right here in San Antonio, Texas.
Right.
And the greater area of San Antonio,
yes.
Austin, etc.
Yes.
Here you are.
But importantly, we share the HQ here, all of us, and that are movers and shakers making it happen on Houston Street, as it turns out. Houston and Broadway in downtown San Antonio. Our studios are on the corner, which I'm calling the capstone corner of downtown.
You should.
Which is at the intersection now of the Alamo Plaza, which
Alamo.
somebody said, oh, are you near the Alamo? And I said, well, we oversee it from, we're on the top floor of the building that oversees it. But also when you step out the front door, you're literally stepping onto the grounds of the Alamo. So what better place to be perched a high for storytelling and this whole cultural corridor, which we're sitting on in this studio now, recording at your studios
here at Geekdom
on Houston Street, and so much happening. And it just is important because to know that we are anchored in, and everyone in downtown and city organizations, private organizations, charitable organizations, nonprofits that you work so closely with, we really have all locked arms. This is uniquely San Antonio that we're locking arms and declaring this is the hub of media and entertainment in Texas. We may not have the most productions yet. Of course, Fort Worth is doing incredible things, which we can talk about because Mayor Maddie Parker's coming in as our opening.
She's amazing. I worked with her in Dallas when I worked on Giving Days in Dallas.
Yeah, she's a rock star. Yeah. Rock star. Well, come hear her. She's doing our opening keynote.
Yes, she is.
We can talk about that. But the point is that San Antonio, no destination or just location does hub better than San Antonio. We've got the infrastructure. We have longevity. We have the nonprofit organizations, the for-profit organizations and services. So I sound like I'm like a pitch woman.
You are.
For San Antonio.
I promise you,
I'm no publicist, but I will tell you that
someone's going to hire you.
I'm sort of on the other side of the desk, but I get giddy and excited when I hear somebody like you, Paige, and you talk about it. We put it out there in the world.
That's amazing. Kind of roll back because I want to jump right into your career, and then we're going to go from LA to kind of take us through LA to New York to San Antonio. But first, what led you into the path of storytelling, and what about the world of media and entertainment were you drawn in by, and how did you get in?
Well, I have to say, how much time do we have?
I know. I'm sure it's a big
I'm a few decades old here. I have to say, you know, I never mind saying my age because I'm so thrilled to be alive and kicking, you know.
Right.
But I will be 65 this summer. I know this is an evergreen. Here we are, almost mid-January of 26.
Yeah.
But, you know, I won't tell you my whole life story, but it's relevant that I was born in the Knicks building.
So I'm
a Knicks baby in 1961, and I've truly come full circle because now I have an apartment downtown on up on the 11th floor above the Majestic Theater in the tower, and
I love that
all my
space.
Back windows windows look onto the next.
Yes. That's amazing.
Wow.
Really close. Okay.
Yeah, so I've come full circle. But I grew up on the south and also in Mexico. Most of my family are Mexican nationals. And then also in the hill country, because, mm-hmm. you know, we're hill country kids. And family and sort of founding families of Fredericksburg and yeah. Comfort in that area.
Amazing.
And yeah, so, you know, that's sort of just by existing in, mm-hmm. in those cultures, that cultura, that food, that way, really is really just born out of storytelling. My mom went to work for Data Point. Mm-hmm. And so we moved to the north side, which uh-huh. my grandfather was apoplectic that we were leaving the south side going to Wurzbach Road. You know,
oh,
it was like
gosh,
so far away. It was like nosebleed. Like, you're going to be so far. But, you know, Wurzbach was, parts of it were still a two-lane dirt road, you know. Mm-hmm. So I know we're in San Antonio. For those listeners, I know everybody's listening, but in San Antonio, it's always a question, where'd you go to high school?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Marshall. Uh-huh. I think we were the first class actually to go to Hobby and uh-huh. then went to Marshall, where it was like, I said this on another interview with Ernie, but it said, I said, you know, my mom would check me for ticks when I would come home because it was in the woods.
Yes.
Oh, it was in the woods.
Goodness.
And so then we would go to Marshall, which was also far away. We were the only high school in Northside Independent School District at the time.
Okay.
So to
put
it into context to the storytelling, I promise it's relevant to your question, is that when you're in a high school that has kids from the hill, kids from Bandera went to that school. Mm-hmm. So we had the shit kickers, we had the socials, mm-hmm. we had the this,
yes.
we had like, and we kind of all fit in, I come from a big rodeo family, we kind of all fit in the different categories. So there really wasn't, and very multicultural, lots of colors, lots of languages, all that. And it was almost like going to a junior college now that I look back at it. I think there were over 1,200 kids in our graduating class.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. No, it was huge. It was like being at SAC or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's huge.
So we were, again, steeped in storytelling. And my grandfather was an incredible orator. He was the superintendent of the Free Methodist Church and had a dispensation as a Protestant to baptize people at the missions in the river. Which was
unbelievable.
I mean, can you imagine? So it's just the storytelling of that. And I would come home after school. I was with my grandparents a lot because my mom worked. And he'd say, well, let's sit down and tell stories. And he taught me how to write in Latin. And, you know, we already spoke Spanish in the household. So it was kind of like this, I think it's like I couldn't have gotten away from it.
Right.
You know, it was just
deep into your family.
Deep into
origin.
My family. My dad was a newspaper man. He was on the publishing side, not the editorial mm-hmm. side, but mm-hmm. he would wake me up in the middle of the night to go watch the presses run here in San Antonio. And so
amazing.
I think it was all these things were sort of the recipe.
Yes.
Yes.
They're
absolutely.
The ingredients for me being a storyteller. And I have a great appreciation for history, and I'm just super interested in people and their stories.
Yeah. Okay, so what took you to, I know you went to L.A. and then New York, so what took you out to L.A.?
Well, first was New York.
So,
one of the most amazing things, and I'm so happy for your company and the focus that you put on this, is growing up in the 60s and 70s in San Antonio, the arts were everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's changed.
Yeah.
We got to get it back there.
Yeah.
But the meaning not the actual performances and the work of the artists, but the support system.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
So growing up, it was like drinking water that companies, major companies, small companies,
yep.
individual businesses just gave to the arts. They just wrote that check. That's what they did. And because of that, as a kid that grew up in a family that really couldn't afford to go do all these things all the time, I went to every opera, every ballet, every play. I mean, I went to everything, the Lila Cockrell Theater.
Yeah, that's what
and
you
she
did.
Was mm-hmm. she was our North Star in our growing up. And then she was very instrumental in me moving back to San Antonio. We became friends and so on later in life. But in any case, that informed me. And I was ill as a child, had something happen. And they said, put her in physical therapy. And another doctor said, put her in dance.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like two. Like, it wasn't really ballet. You're kind of running around.
Right, yep.
You know,
creative
Paige,
movement, Paige, we call
it. I was going to say, Paige would know this very well.
But you looked really cute.
Well, I looked cute.
Oh,
and it helped. It helped my muscles, strengthen my muscles on one of my legs. It worked out.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed in it my whole life and ended up graduating from TCU with a fine arts degree with a major in dance, and I took a minor in business and those kind of classes. But what happened is I started getting scholarships at age 15 to go to New York with like Alvin Ailey, Martha Graham, you know, majors, had an incredible teacher here in San Antonio, incredible school. Yep. We had the infrastructure. My teacher also had a lot of relationships in New York already, especially on Broadway and with the Broadway League and all of that. Mm-hmm. And so that was really my entree. And so I would go to New York during the summers and go do these studies and classes. But I knew I wanted to be a writer. And I knew that my ticket to be able to afford to go to New York was to keep dancing.
Yes.
And so the minute I graduated from Marshall, like not even a week later, I was in New York.
Oh,
I was like, I'm out of here. I'm going. My friends from high school can tell you that. And I took a job working the front door at the Lone Star Cafe, which was everything at the time. That was the place to be. It was like early, you know, late 70s, early 80s. And that's how I kind of got in New York, because it was the hottest place in town. Studio 54 was winding down.
Oh my gosh.
Everything was like urban cowboy kind of like coolness. And they were New Yorkers trying to book country music. And instead they were booking, and I'll say this for our San Antonio audience, will love this, and Austin too. They were booking like rockabilly East Coast, like Robert Gordon and all these kind of people. And I was hearing it, and I was like, really? Because that's not country music.
The Lone Star Cafe?
And, yeah, and they were like, well, they were trying.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they were like, well, who do you think we should book? And I'm thinking, like, who played our high school dances?
Yes.
And who was at the Village Inn, which is where we all went? Who was at Randy's Rodeo, which is where?
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, we could call Ray Benson and Asleep at the
oh
Wheel.
Oh, my gosh.
I could call Stevie Ray Vaughan.
I could call
Charlie Sexton.
Oh, my gosh.
Of course, this is before texting.
Yeah. Right, yeah, yeah.
But these
You're
were
really
just,
calling. This is
no,
not an email.
No, and these were like, oh, who plays at Antone's? Like, it was kind of like that.
Yes.
It was like, you know, and the bartender there actually had come from Austin. And so we just put our heads together and started reaching out to people. And they were like, sure.
And now you're a producer at whatever age.
And
you were already starting to do that. You were already producing.
I was
things.
Already producing more than running the front door.
Yeah.
And I ended up, and there were, they had, did have somebody there that was booking the artist who was very good. It was just a little bit of a different bent coming from San Antonio.
Yep.
So that's how I got into the music side of the business, was with CBS Records, advising them and doing some things with them. Fast forward many years, ended up producing on teams and sometimes individually, Grammy-nominated artists, Grammy-winning artists. And that was out of a label in New York. And that started bringing me back to South Texas and to Central Texas, was to do A&R and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So we scouted, and some of the artists that this audience would No, would be like Lonely Boys. We did their first album.
Yes,
we did their first two albums and won Grammys, thankfully.
Yes.
That
oh,
was
yeah,
fun.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. We could do a whole show about that.
Yes.
the fashion alone.
Yes.
But and then we did Modest Yahoo and Alejandro Escovedo, who's actually originally from San Antonio, and artists like that. So we had a lot of big wins. It was fun. But that's what brought me. So that's the music side. The media side was I just wanted to be a writer. You know, and I thought, well, I'll work the front door at this place and I'll be able to hopefully meet somebody that I could say, hey, could I write something for you? Could I do, you know?
Yeah.
So I ended up being a ghostwriter for this crazy guy that had a byline at Rolling Stone and kind of knew the music side.
Okay.
I was working at a music venue.
Yeah.
And so I started doing that. Of course, I was ghostwriting for him, but it taught me how to write for magazines. And then, you know, you just claw and scrape and work your way to the top and you make it happen. And, you know, I was a scrappy South Texas girl from San Antonio competing with sort of gorgeous 6 foot tall, you know, Condé Nast Connecticut girls. I don't mind saying it. I'm putting it out there. And so I really, you know, they had Ivy League educations.
Yeah.
They had, I mean, I went to TCU. I did good.
Yeah.
But they had, but I was on like financial aid. But in any case, so, you know, I was a different bird at that. You have to go back and think of that time, you know, in the 90s in New York City. Very different than now.
Yes.
And I was not a size 0, 6 foot tall, you know, perfect, perfect person. But in any case, I showed up early. I was the last to leave. Mm-hmm. I never missed a deadline. My dad, you know, from newspaper days. All roads lead to San Antonio, as my friend Justin says. That's what got me. The long answer to your question is that's what got me into media and entertainment.
Wow.
I was growing up
that's
in
amazing.
San Antonio.
Yeah. Okay, so what brought you back here to establish yourself here and all these organizations that you work with here? What drew you back to the city?
Well, it kind of the city did itself and the people here. Over the years, you know, I never planned on having a television career, but very early, and this is great for especially students to hear, be flexible, be open to ideas, don't get stuck in one format, mm-hmm. especially now.
Yes.
But early on, and it's still true to this day, and this is how people in San Antonio kind of started seeing me more, because it's a visual medium versus,
right.
you know, when I was in magazines, I worked my way up to be editor-in-chief level at big national magazines. Like, you know, I could drop a bunch of names. You'd know them all. The big women's magazines.
Right.
When magazines were everything.
Yeah.
You know?
When there was a ton of them.
Still
and you got
love
all
a magazine.
Them. I know.
Yes. Well, they're coming back kind of like vinyl is, but very highly specialized.
Yes.
But which is cool, I think. But in any case, what happened is it first started at Good Morning America and then rippled through to different other shows. These are all couched and operated in news divisions. So they would see, so they had news writers, news, it was all news, but their audience was a women's audience after the guys had gone to work.
Yes. Right.
It's terrible, but this is how it was.
Yes.
So in any case, they started going like, hey, how can Cecily, can we talk to that editor Cecily, you know, they call the whoever, and say, like, see this big magazine spread? Mm-hmm. How could she do this for visual, for like broadcast, for television? So they did that with me and a few of the other top editors in New York.
Oh, cool.
Well, my gosh, I got like a PhD in writing, producing, directing for television.
Yeah.
They'd sit me literally like we are in a room next to each other.
Uh-huh.
And I'd say, okay, here's this. And they'd say, okay, we're going to adapt that into a script instead of a feature.
Wow.
And then here's like what photographer? And I worked with the biggest, I got to say, with these amazing photographers, but they don't do video.
Mm.
Well, we'll sit you with who the videographer is going to be, the camera operator, and let's talk about angles. Let's talk about, so I was like, yeah, don't let the woman walk in and you're shooting her from the back. Like, give her some respect.
Yeah, yes,
like,
yes,
don't
yes.
shoot her from below looking up. You
yes.
know, like all these
yes.
angles that you would do in a print layout.
Right.
We adapted it for television. And then I'd have to go and rush into hair and makeup and then come back and then also be on camera, which was easy for me because I'd grown up in theater, performing and dancing.
And
I can do it all.
They would call me one hit wonder, and I was like, live is my vibe. Like, that's it. Like, you know. So that's how. So people in San Antonio start seeing, oh, that's Cecily we know from Hobby Middle School or whatever, you know, and it started giving me exposure on television, which was never my plan. Then I started doing a lot of shows, like, because working all these fashion magazines and everything, and started doing all these shows like E! Entertainment, Access Hollywood. It caused me to go to L.A., the answer to your
mm-hmm,
question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was all of that kind of stuff, was doing the fashion
mm-hmm. right,
sort of things. In New York, it was more newsy, serious. Barbara Walters, producer Bill Geddes from San Antonio, he has passed, which I was not happy to see. There was no obituary for him in our local media, so I wrote a big one on Facebook myself.
Oh,
but
good.
He also is a graduate from UT Austin,
mm-hmm.
and he was her producing partner, created The View, so I was a regular on The View.
Mm-hmm.
And he would say, hey, come early so we can shoot the you-know-what about San Antonio and breakfast tacos. Would you bring some breakfast tacos? I was like, I live in New York, Bill. But anyway, so Barbara took me under her wing and really taught me how to be an interviewer. So I just was right time, right place, quite frankly.
Wow.
How special.
And people love San Antonio.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, who's that girl from San Antonio? Let's get her in here. So that's kind of how that started. And then people started asking me to come back and do projects here.
Yeah.
And so on the consulting side, I would get calls from private equity firms on the East Coast that would send teams down here for a distressed media asset or portfolio and say, like, they would send a team down here and spend a fortune.
Yeah.
They would come back to Boston or New York or even Chicago and say, like, we don't get it. Like, you know, San Antonio's maybe comparable to New Orleans, I think, is as close as we could get.
Mm-hmm.
So they just didn't get it. And so So who's that woman we know? So he's talking about San Antonio. And again, all roads lead here. And they'd hire me, and I would come back on their nickel and see all the data and research that my little company would not be able to afford. And I started seeing this roadmap of moving back. And then, and then Lila Cockrell and many other incredible leaders, women leaders of the time, Cheryl Sculley included, and many other names I could drop that are amazing, incredible women, would say, like, okay, knock it off. Like, when are you moving back? Like, you got to get back here. Quit inching back. You got to, you know,
leap back.
In LA, I did my last place there was an apartment. But, you know, I lived in hotels in LA. I lived in the Chateau Marmont for a few years. I lived at the Sunset Marquis because it was easy. You know, it was in and out, in and out. And I don't particularly like to live there, you know. And so I'm more of a New York girl walking all the time. I don't even have a car here downtown. I walk everywhere. So
it's the best.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's a broad answer to your question, but it connects the dots of how it started happening.
Yeah.
You know, and look, it was getting very tough in New York already.
Yeah.
You know, in 2008 and 9. We had a great company. By then, it had almost a 10-year run called Momentum Women Media and Entertainment. It was fantastic. It was so great. My partners in that were like Barbara Keynes from Worldwide Pants, Letterman's executive producer, a lot of people like that in the industry. And but 2008 and 9, you know, this sounds extreme, but people were jumping out of windows in New York, and people here didn't feel it.
Yeah.
You know, San Antonio, the diversification.
Right.
Yes, the arts got lagged behind.
Yes.
Yeah.
But where San Antonio has done so well is in diversification and biosciences, health, and anything health related.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fintech, cybersecurity, of course, hospitality. All these very important verticals is what has sustained the growth of San Antonio and really made it somewhat bulletproof when it comes to these sort of things. Of course, being Military City USA as well.
Yeah, that helps.
That's our feeder. So it was time to start looking back, looking forward to move to San Antonio. It takes a while to get out of a lease in New York that you lived in the same building 30 years.
Uh-huh.
So I was able to do that. And Japanese bought the building and we're converting it anyway. So I was okay. That was sort of the kick. That was the kick in the pants I needed to get out. And so I started coming back. I had a place in the Hill Country for a while, started a luxury brand for a newspaper company there, and was very fortunate that the legislative session, I can't remember which one, in 2017 created a bill in my honor for contribution of journalism and storytelling. I wouldn't say it except you asked about the storytelling part. For the great state of Texas. So then, of course, people take note of that.
Yes.
Not one to put that stuff on my walls, but people take note of it. And then one foot in front of the other. Women in Film and Television, I was associated with in New York and L.A., were an organization that was founded in 1973 in Los Angeles, was just our mothership. Paige knows all this stuff.
Yes.
And, you know, was founded in the time when, like, Lucille Ball and all these incredible women. You can't really name any women writers and directors except for the last few years. So you can imagine what it was like.
Yeah.
In her latest book, Barbara Streisand even said that if it wasn't for, we're called WIF, Women in Film, the television part's not there. Although it covers it, it just was founded a long time ago.
Right, yeah.
In L.A., she said if it wasn't, you know, she wrote and started her own film, Yentl, and was not going to be able to direct it. She couldn't get a studio deal to direct it. They said, well, you can star in it, and we'll take your script, but... And she said if it wasn't for the advocacy of our organization, she would have never been able to direct that film. So it's that kind of work that kickstarted it. Now we're over 13,000 members globally.
Wow.
We have 50 chapters, official chapters. Mm-hmm. There's a couple stragglers out there, but 50 chapters. They asked me when I moved to San Antonio permanently, got my 78205.
Uh-huh.
They said, I got a call from kind of the global heads of it and said they were pitching San Antonio to me. And boy, on this Zoom, and I let them go for it because it was so fun. I was like,
tell me about it.
Yes, exactly. They were like, and one was from Helsinki and one in Ireland. So you can imagine the accents.
Oh,
it was so fantastic. It was like a little show.
They weren't dropping y'alls in there.
No. It was more like, and then, you know. And they were like, did you know their very first Academy Award winning feature film was made in San Antonio? It's called Wings, and it starred Clara Bow. And she advocated for parity and pay and billing. And I said, I did, and I'm looking at the theater out my window that it premiered at, the Texas Theater. And they're like, okay, this woman wow. knows what she's talking about. And so it was like that. Did you know? And they talked about culinaries and CIA campus. And did you know? And the UNESCO quoted and all these things. And they said, and I said, and your point. And they said, how is it that we don't have a chapter there founded like 30 years ago? And I said, you tell me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I thought about it about 6 months because I really wanted at this stage and age and life to say like, this is a big deal. And I said, like, okay. Now, I knew the studios were going to be under construction, the Bear Studios. And the chapters that do really well around the world have some kind of brick and mortar.
Right.
Some kind of a clubhouse, some kind of a something to have meetings. Or, you know, there are some other chapters that, you know, they're like every month is like, what coffee shop can we meet in? What bar? Mm-hmm. You know, that's a non-starter, you know. And so I said, look, if I can donate what I'm doing and use it to really kickstart what we're doing here, and it works so well. That and we had members wanting to join from all over Texas, mm-hmm. and they were like in Corpus Christi, like the film commissioner in Corpus Christi, and the RGV, and all these people, in Austin and Fort Worth, everywhere. They're like, we feel weird joining a chapter called Women in Film and Television San Antonio, but our charter covered half the state already.
Right.
We were still are woefully underserved in this industry, and so after the Celestial Awards, the inaugural ones in November, which Paige was a big part of, the board met and we said, let's rebrand and to really define what we're already doing, which is Texas, and we legally changed it and. Boy, the floodgates opened, and we have grown so quickly. And you have to apply. It's not hard to apply. It really isn't, because our name is Film and Television, because that's the name from, you know, 53 years. However, when people ask me, who can join, I say, watch the credits roll.
Yeah.
Are you an electrician? Are you a carpenter? Mm-hmm. Are you in crafty services? Are you in food? Are you, everybody's walking around with a broadcast in their pocket, like how a broadcast capability. You know, what are you doing? We have memberships for everybody, from students all the way up to super, you know, seasoned pros. I mean, so we've got something for everybody.
That's amazing. Okay, so what stories or voices are you most passionate about elevating? You have all these, you know, you have the Celestial Awards, you have the stuff that you do with women in film and television. What draws you to this work?
Well, I think it's women, and I think that comes from the incredibly strong women in Mexico and also in Texas that raised me. They're incredibly strong. The role modeling of women like Lila Cockrell, other women, which many of them we've named awards for, and so many of our contemporary leaders and icons. I just got goosebumps saying it. You're going to see Saturday the 17th on stage.
Yes.
So excited
about women.
Incredible women. And so, you know, it's really going back to that parity, equity, and platforming as I'm adding to that. You know, women's stories are out there. They're being told, but they're kind of smattering here and there and here and there. I'm going to step back a little bit and say in my magazine days, working for magazines like Glamour, InStyle, Marie Claire, Cosmopolitan, all these magazines of that time, Grace, Mode, all these incredible magazines, it was a women's market.
Right.
You know, I covered 38 seasons of New York Fashion Week as an official journalist. You know, it's all changed since then, but this was at the time. At the last one that I did, I had my own set for the You Better Show, which is one of the shows I own. Mm-hmm. You Better Show, which we had our own set in the main tents and interviewed every. That was all coming from women's audience. It's that thing I told you earlier about the television news divisions. How do we reach the women's audience? So I emerged as this leader on the business side, understanding that audience and building sophisticated business models around that, subscription-based business models. On the other side, I am a woman.
Yeah.
and guess what? They trust me and they know me. We know women make, the numbers fluctuate, but it's hovering around 83% of the buy decisions. We buy up, we buy down, we buy laterally. We're in control, but we don't have singular platforms for storytelling. It's smattering. So what we're doing here, and one of the great things about moving back to San Antonio and having my own shingle here, is that being able to create platforms for women. So if you can look at the Celestial Awards, you look at the Texas Media and Entertainment Summit, which is men and women, but it does benefit WIFT, we're platforming people.
Yeah.
We're platforming women, and we're doing it in a sophisticated way, yep. but fun way, an important and telling way that gives them the opportunity to show and tell their stories.
And unify them.
Yes.
Bringing them all together at the same time mm-hmm. at this summit that's coming up mm-hmm. and the awards show. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. On your journey, mm-hmm. I watch you mm-hmm. and I haven't known you that long, but mm-hmm. you go, 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 go. You're always moving forward. You always mm-hmm. have a new idea. You're always putting the puzzle pieces together. Mm-hmm. But have you been able to really stop? Like, I'm thinking about you sitting, talking about
I know.
The people in Ireland, you know, telling you about San Antonio, mm-hmm. and you're looking out mm-hmm. at the theater. Like, were you able to be like, I'm right where I'm supposed to be? Like,
oh,
this,
that's so good.
This yeah. is, this is like, this is it. I am right where I'm supposed to be and keep moving? Or do you just keep moving?
I just keep moving. I love this question and statement you just made. It's so important. When I do speaking engagements at universities, or I was very fortunate to speak to Aggie women a few years ago, mm-hmm. Do the keynote at the Bush Library. And my talk that day was about what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
And it is, it's, real quick, it's sort of funny because over the years on Facebook,
yeah.
over the years, you know, people keeping
we're
in touch.
On.
And we're hanging on. People keeping in touch and everything from yep. high school,
yep.
you know,
yep.
and all that stuff. They'd say, Cecily, are you okay? You really changed jobs a lot.
Oh but my gosh!
Because they don't, you know, again,
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
no, that show's just on hiatus. We'll be back next season.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
yes.
so it seems, yes, I am in a constant state of motion, but it does, and that comes from my health issues as a kid and all of that. I don't like to say like cancer survivor, but, you know, had serious bouts of that growing up. It's one of the reasons my mom moved us to the north side, because our world-class healthcare there
right.
saved my life. Then I ended up on the board of trustees of which is now MD Anderson there with CTRC,
wow.
which is the place that saved my life as a teenager.
Oh
so full circle, Paige. These are
Whoa.
Full circle moments. But yes, I think you have to keep moving forward constantly, not to the point of exhaustion. You have to take care of yourself first,
yeah. Yeah.
But especially women. You know,
no,
I always
yes.
hear that. I'm not the first to say it. Like,
no.
why do they say on planes, put the oxygen mask on yourself first so you can help your kid next to you, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So yeah. that we have to heed that, and we don't enough as women. But also it's the nature of the industry that I'm in is in a constant state of motion. We're constantly reinventing. Look at the state
yes.
of where we are now. If we don't embrace that on the business side, you're dead in the water.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know, I think this is for nonprofits. I would like to flip that question and ask y'all, because nonprofits have to innovate. And
yeah.
so many times over the years, having been on tons of boards and committees and all of that, and WIFT is a nonprofit.
Yep.
We're waiting for that tax designation. Come on,
IRS.
But we are a Texas nonprofit. You know, it is... You have to innovate. You can't say, well, we're a nonprofit, we're not innovating. I think also for women-owned businesses, especially small to medium-sized businesses, I can't think of any category that innovates better, you know, than they do. But I do tell students, love to speak with students, I do tell them all the time, think about where you are your feet firmly planted in the ground? Is this where you think you're supposed to be? To your point, Paige, the second thing I say, which is something who ended up becoming my talent manager and business manager that I still know to this day, said to me it was right after 9/11, and I got this call from William Morris Endeavor. Well, they weren't Endeavor at the time. It was William Morris and CA and these agencies that wanted to represent me. I said, well, I'm not an actor. They said, yeah, but you're doing all this stuff. And I thought, I don't know. So I'm going to call this manager and say, like, what do you think? Is this, because he's in L.A., like, and I still have a business affairs office in L.A. And this is, you know, right after 9/11. And I said, what do you think about this? Is this a good move? He said, they're going to wine you and dine you, and then they're really kind of a nobody. They're going to assign you to the guy in the mailroom
uh-huh.
to help build
right.
his book of business.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, yeah, thank you for saying that, because that's
yeah.
exactly what would happen. And he said, let me ask you this. What don't you want to do? And I burst out crying.
Oh.
And it was on the phone. It was the most powerful thing that anybody had said to me about my own career. No one had given me the permission
oh.
to answer that, to even think about it.
Wow.
Right? And that changed my life. That one, this is how women especially have the power to change people's lives. Now, they have to be open to listening.
Yeah.
And sometimes if it's somebody you care about, you might have to say it two or three times. I kind of have a three-time rule. Like, if I don't go for number four.
Okay, but, I like that rule.
But I think it's very powerful, especially trying to find that roadmap of, are you where you're supposed to be? Are you doing what you want to do that you know you can do? I agree with Scott Galloway a lot on this, that it's great to want to be in media and entertainment and all these other things, but at the end of the day, are you any good at it? And is it a real job, or are you playing kind of on your phone, or is this really something that you are willing to commit to the craft of it? Are you willing to admit the no's? Yeah. Are you willing to admit that it's hard to make an income?
Yeah.
That you've got to create your own business. You've got to create your own wealth. All those things are very important in this industry. And to me, they are tailor-made for women.
Yep.
Wow. That's
really
powerful.
We talked a little, and you talked about evolution and being innovative. And I'm just curious, first thing, what do you see next for you? Mm-hmm. And what do you see next in, like, the emerging media market? It's like, so how for you, Cecily, how does that, what do you see?
Line up.
Well, breaking news, I can tell you here today some of the things. And it's really, y'all's questions are good. there's a couple of, which isn't always the case on these things, but I'm so happy.
You're so interesting that I want to dig in. I'm going to get real nosy here soon.
No, that's so nice. So actually, it's something that is sort of soft launched, and so I'll talk about it. But it's a combination of both. That's like, what's next in media? Mm-hmm. It's what I've learned in my consulting practice and advising companies, individuals, brands. At the Texas Media and Entertainment Summit, we have a great panel on that Laura Salinas is coming in, this amazing producer who's coming in from LA to moderate this panel. And it's studios as brands and brands as studio. What is the roadmap and who is show running IP? That's a great panel because that's what's shifting right now.
Right.
You hear the thing that the public knows about is when they heard the big, oh my gosh, Chick-fil-A is turning into a studio. You know, well, there's lots of examples of that happening. There's so much talent that now the landscape has been leveled with incentives, which San Antonio is leading the charge as the most robust in the state of Texas with our incredible work that Mayor Maddie Parker is coming in to talk about. Also, Stephanie Whalen, who is our Texas Film Commissioner, is coming in to speak. We have incredible people coming in to speak from HBO, Netflix. I mean, like, all over the place coming in for 2 days.
That is January.
January 15th and 16th. You can go online and get passes. It is at the Gunter Hotel. And it's
right
perfect.
Down the street.
It's perfect location. I can walk across the street and get there.
No parking necessary.
Not for me. But it's going to be incredible. And the Gunter is like, and Elizabeth Farso, who is also an honoree at Celestials, that was, you know, she, of course, Hotel Emma, we associate her with, and many of all of Pearl, and her own firm now for a while. But she, of course, had a big hand in that, and you'll feel it when you come in. But music related, especially in our industry related. Mae West stayed there all the time, going back in the day. Robert Johnson, you know, and all of that. So I could go a whole thing on that. But in any case, gosh, now I went down a rabbit hole. But on the panel of IP and studios, so that's really what's next is brands from Gant to Nike to so many. There's so much talent in our industry sort of on the streets now, right?
Yeah.
There's sort of a bit of a shrinkage that's happening in Hollywood. You see what's going on with the Paramount deal, the Warner Brothers Discovery, and now Warner Brothers without Discovery. You see what's happening with David Zasloff and all of that has I just do want to point this out, not to brag on myself in any way, shape, or form, but here's a very good example. So the Texas 100 that the Business Journals do, which is Advanced Publications, ultimately it's owned by Condé Nast, but Advanced Publications. So the Texas ones do this Texas 100 list.
Right.
I don't know how I'm on it, but it's what an honor, and I'm on it.
Just came
out a couple of days ago. But the reason I bring this up is this. There's only four people that are on that list in media and entertainment. Now, that is a purely editorial list put together by the editorial teams. They work on it all year at all the journals in Texas. So it's not their fault per se. It just shows you how we have room to grow. There's only four people. And Several people, I got a call from LA, several calls from LA about this. They're like, oh, we saw the Texas 100, because they watch.
Right.
And and so who is it? Well, it's Larry Ellison, who's uh-huh. Paramount and Oracle, of course. Yeah. So that again, is a through line to the answer to your question about how things are shifting.
Right.
Right. So really, Hollywood has always been tech. People just haven't talked about it so much.
Yeah.
Always, I'm saying in the last 15 years, it's right. been technology-based. Yeah. The other... Taylor Sheridan's on the list, mm-hmm. who is an incredible storyteller. But look what he's done. He's left Paramount Plus, and he's made the deal yeah. with Peacock, with NBC Universal.
Yep.
So that's a shift. Think about what that means. Just think about the economic impact of what that means for Texas, right?
That's
SGS
big.
Studios, which Mayor Matty Parker had a hand in, which they locked arms with Ross Perot Jr. and mm-hmm. Taylor Sheridan, created SGS Studios, the largest studio in the state of Texas. Think about that shift. The other is John Starkey, who is the CEO of AT&T. Think about that. That's a delivery system, a mobile delivery system. Mm-hmm. So the four that were represented, we were all tied to storytelling, but we're all tied to distribution as well. So that's where I'm going next, which is we have a brand called Marquee Texas. Again, connecting the dots, sort of the mortar for the bricks. There has not been a platform in Texas that really is sort of a trade. I don't want to say publication. We are going to have a print publication twice a year, but it's every format. So the trade side of the industry meeting the consumer side of the industry. Somebody said okay. to me the other day, oh, it's like if Variety and Vanity Fair had a baby. And I'm like, I'm going to steal that. I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's please God, let's get there. But
yes.
in any case, it is sort of with the incredible work that our own film commission has done,
yeah.
that the Texas Film Commission, politicians in cities like Fort Worth, you see how that paid off for them to be involved.
Yeah.
Of course, Women in Film and Television Texas that we're doing. So we need a platform. We need to platform our industry. We need mm-hmm. to platform ourselves.
Mm.
So we have kicked that off, actually, through Texas Media and Entertainment Summit. That we will be doing twice a year to follow in the footsteps of Digital Hollywood that I was involved with for decades, that now we've always been at CES in January. In fact, it's happening right now. And also twice a year in LA. The owner of that is not doing that anymore in LA because it's too difficult to do business there.
Wow.
And he said, why don't you rebrand it and take it to Texas? And so that's what this is. That's how we have a lot of people coming in for the industry. So Marquee
that's
Texas,
huge.
It is huge. Marquee Texas, you will be seeing it. You'll be coming to the summit again in next June.
Okay.
And we will push forward. The Celestial Awards are really all about these women. Each year we're having a different theme. Last year was
yeah.
wings.
Yeah.
This year, if I could indulge and tell you, it is an homage to the first movie studio, they called it, in the state of Texas, which was, again, all roads lead to San Antonio. Texas Star Films Ranch, sometimes they had ranch on there. It was in what now is Padre Park,
okay,
over at the
yeah.
Missions, where the
yeah.
Hot Wells was everything over there
yes.
at the time. They made these two French brothers. It was a big influence. A lot of French settled San Antonio, which people don't talk about that much.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, these two French brothers, by way of France, obviously, in New York, made their way with this woman called Edith Story, who became known as Edith Billy Story because she was a badass that did all her own stunts and, and was a horsewoman. Starred in over 70 silent films. There's just only a couple that are still, you can see pieces of, I think there's seven. One people know of called The Immortal Alamo. So they were fascinated with Westerns. You almost kind of think of this like, what was the film with the Western film that was like a steampunk kind of version of it? Wild Wild West. You know,
oh,
it's kind of,
yes.
you think of those times of what was happening in the 1910s and 20s. So we have appropriated that theme. So everyone, we're asking them to wear black and white. We're asking them to show up in their French meets Western chic. And of course, there is this incredible actress, performer, person, you may know her. Her name is Paige Blenberry. I'm going to get her autograph after we leave. But she is cast to play the role of Edith Billy Story.
Honored to do that.
And she, wait till you see, just wait till you see. We have converted, which has never been done before, the HEB Hall at the world-class Tobin Center. And I say that because it really
is.
It's like if Skirball and Lincoln Center had a baby. I mean, it's an amazing destination. And we've converted it into the Celestial Cabaret. So when you walk into the Tobin, You will be, think you're in a cabaret, a Western meets French 1910s to 2026 vibe, and then it goes right up onto the stage. So, yes, do we have a bartender on stage? We do. Do we have a baby grand piano? Yes, we do. Do we have a DJ? Yes, we do. Maria Consuela Gonima will be
on stage.
And our host, Renee Trevino, who is actress, performer, director, writer, producer. She produces her husband Steve's Netflix specials, the great comedian Steve Trevino. But she is a force to be reckoned with on her own right. She's our host this year.
Amazing.
Yay. So, yeah, it's going to be something. It's going to be something.
That's amazing.
January 17th. It's coming up.
Yeah, it's right around the corner.
I'm glad we're not on a video podcast because my eyes are kind of red.
Oh, you have been working hard. I know.
Yes.
Nonstop.
Well, we're so lucky to have you here because you are in the busiest season that you're, you have a lot going on, and I appreciate everything you've done.
Thank you.
Been part of. And, I did want to ask you, because before we have some rapid fire questions that we always end with, but before we get to that, you've named a lot of people, and I'm just curious, who are those North Stars for you? Who are those mentors? Who are those people that really came into your life and said, like, yeah, I think this is what you should be, doing, or this is, you looked at them and said, that's what I want to be doing. Who are those people for you?
Well, I think I've
you're probably that for a lot of other people. So
that's so lovely. Thank you. I think I've named Czech Lila Cockrell a million times.
Yes,
so we'll skip that one. But I will say that a lot of these people are not women that are brand names that people would know.
Yeah.
I mentioned Barbara Walters, who was so important to me. Pat Holbrook, growing up during the time that she was in her best of times, I think we're in the 60s and 70s here, and she was a big influence on my life. It has been mostly women. It has been mostly women. They are women who did not pull the ladder up behind them. They left that ladder down and then also reached over and said, here, let me give you a hand up. There are incredible women in New York, very strong, incredible women in New York, that if I name their names in New York, you would know who they are, kind of on the business side, and women like that who are really important. I will say a story that is a short story, I promise, that growing up here, I was, because my dad being in the business and me watching those presses run and those kinds of things, I knew I wanted to be a writer from a very early age, but I was fascinated with magazines and knew I wanted to be a magazine writer. If I could just be a magazine writer the rest of my life, I'd be done. Like, I'd be so happy. And so my mom, our house was kind of like the house, like for the slumber party house, you know?
Yep.
And at that time, again, remember my age, at that time, like Teen Beat, Tiger Beat were like what people read, right? I loved, believe it or not, Ms. Magazine my mom would buy for me. My mom passed in 1987, but if you knew her, she was the one who used to say to me, Ceci, everywhere you go, there's zeros and ones. Because she was in data, EDP, electronic data processing. She was in tech, one of the few women. That's how I have a big tech background our industry tech
and not
background.
Not afraid of it, yeah.
Oh, no, I advise on it, actually.
Yeah.
Because it's because of her. But so she, and then she bought Cosmopolitan, which may have been a little, I don't know, for, a 12 or 13-year-old. But anyway, so those were polar opposites, right? Gloria Steinem, Ms. Magazine, think about that.
Yeah.
And then Helen Gurley Brown, Cosmopolitan.
Wow.
At the end of the day, they had the same message. It was just delivered in different packages.
Right.
So during the slumber parties, I would dream that someday I would go to New York City and I would see, like, walking on the street, Helen Gurley Brown. Well, I ended up working for her.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
The last two photo shoots of Francesco Scavullo, the famous photographer, the Scavullo who did all the covers and everything, I art directed the last two photo shoots of his life. They weren't Cosmo covers, but it was through Helen Gurley Brown.
Wow.
And also, oh, and believe me, at Frank's funeral, she walked up the aisle and she was maybe in her 90s or definitely, I think, in her 90s at that time. And she had on the Chanel suit, like the shortest mini Chanel suit you could see.
Yes.
It looked so chic. I mean, up into the end. But in any case, and then I ended up knowing Gloria Steinem and was invited to a very important birthday of hers and, had been in touch and those kinds of things. This shows you that you can't narrow cast when it comes to looking at who you think your mentors are.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
You know, yeah. I really like quote, I can't think of his name, but I quote Malcolm, it'll come to you. The message is, the medium is the message.
Right.
Right. And so
Malcolm Gladwell.
No, it's before him. It'll come to me.
Okay.
When we turn off, it'll come to me.
Yeah,
Or at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
But in any case, that's really where I see. To this day, I could name some people that I consider icons that I'm not a big mentor person, which seems odd to say. I have mentored so many people without calling it a mentorship.
Right, right. I think that's when it's most effective. Almost.
It is. Yeah. And I'm misunderstood a lot about this when I'm asked to mentor. And I say, I don't mentor, but I'm happy to be connected. And if you'd like to connect me to this person, and we'll take it from there. A mentor sets up false expectations many times on both sides. That's a different podcast. But so when I look at that, if I told you right now, people that I'm engaged with or that I act with, you might say, gosh, they don't even like each other. They're so different, these two women or these two people. But they're in their own lane, their own expertise. They know what they stand for. They're high achieving. So I don't look at the person. I don't believe in going, well, I got to get in that clique, or I got to get in that lane of those people that do that thing, or who are the cool kids, like a student might think. I've never been, I think that comes back to that Marshall High School of being like a smattering of everybody.
Yeah.
And I think that, and that's military culture too. Get along, you know, everybody.
100%.
And I come from a military family. I'm probably the only one that wasn't in the military. But so I think that that's it. I hope that's a good enough answer for your question.
No, I think that's brilliant. I think that's the thing that what we've learned on this, through this podcast, or something that I've been taking away, is it's the women that are most successful, like you, and have had these incredible stories. It's like they surround themselves with other women that are also incredible, that are go before them, or they're coming after them, or beside them, or coming along up, and they're all in one, kind of cheering each other along, making connections, and they understand each other, even though they're so different. I mean, we've interviewed all sorts of different kind of industries and women, but they just really care deeply and are just good people. And I think that's just made it really
interesting. I do have something to say, and I don't want it to sound negative, but it's an observation is what it is. And, you know, I started coming back to San Antonio. I mean, I'd come back and do things, especially I was on and off with NBC for many years. And when they know I was coming home, they'd say, hey, will you go do our morning show in San Antonio? And those are the Tangy days and Shelly days and all that.
Yes.
So, you know, I've been coming back a long time doing stuff and then coming back and doing these turnarounds and projects and things on media assets. But in any case, and so kind of like observing, I'm an insider and outsider. Like, believe me, when you grew up on the South Side and then moved to the North, like you get it, like old school San Antonio. But in any case, as I then started really like moving back, San Antonio is so one of our superpowers is we're like a working class town. Like we're no nonsense.
Yes.
We put our heads down and get her done, right?
Yeah.
But also it's very siloed.
Mm-hmm.
Very siloed. Yes. I think that's shifting over the last 5 years I've seen. But with women have had to compete so much in the workplace that then when you put women into a women's organization and they're in the room, they're still competing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be very mindful of how you program something.
Yep.
I would say that a lot of my inspiration and icons are our members. Our members are incredible. What we're putting in place, and of course with our board, of course with Eileen Krett, who is incredibly a North Star for me, one of the most amazing humans I've ever met here in San Antonio. We've known each other a long time. She's on our board. And really, we could not have the success of WIF Texas without Eileen. It just goes without saying, or I guess I am saying it, but which she won't like. But I'm saying it, Eileen. But in any case, we've got to lock arms.
Yeah.
We have to let our guard down a bit in San Antonio, woman to woman,
yep.
and not pull that ladder up. The gatekeeping is real here.
Yeah.
And it's an unfortunate thing. And I'd love to see those walls come down, those gates be demolished. I would really like that more.
Yeah.
And prove me wrong. Just call me up and text me and say, Cecily, you don't know what you're talking about. And show me where I'm wrong on that.
Yeah.
Because I think it's something I always say, like, Yes, it's, I mean, I am like, I can't wait to get out of bed in the morning. Like, I'm just thrilled to be in San Antonio and all of Central and South Texas. But let's work as women on really locking arms, like really, not just saying it,
right,
but doing it. I have found that with organizations too. We as WIFT have locked arms with many incredible organizations. And of course, Crystal Jones, who leads our Department of Arts and Culture,
yep,
is such an icon to me and really, and you know, I didn't really know her. I've gotten to know her well. She's a founding commissioner with our organization. Christine Hill, these are women, Stacey Norton, the whole department over there, these are women who know how to lock arms.
Yeah.
These are women that, you know, what is it, the all boats rise. Like, they're, they live and breathe that, and they mean it.
Right.
They don't do it because they're city employees. They do it, it's because that's how they are. So those are the women, women like you, those are the women who I think are the icons here in San Antonio, and we need more of that.
Well, and I think we see, if you really talk and talk about talk to the women, the successful women, and hear their stories, which is what we're here to do, you're going to find that the most successful women are the ones that are locking arms, leaving the ladder down.
Yeah.
And having you come from New York and LA and bring that essence back to San Antonio just helps us evolve a little bit more and realize that We are bigger than just our little insular silo of San Antonio. And the more that happens, the better we are as a community and the women in the community as well.
Well, thank you. I have a quick anecdote about that. You know, in booking, you know, I'm on with New York and LA pretty much every day, both or one or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I still do business there. And, of course, I'm trying to get everybody to come here. And, and they are, and they are. They are. And on next Wednesday,
happening.
They are. Or next Thursday, they are. But in on the 15th and 16th at the Gunter Hotel. But in any case, I always somehow manage to get it in at the top of a call. If it's somebody sort of new or somebody maybe I've known 30 years, but I only talk to once every 5 years, that's a agent or a publicist or somebody. And they're like, what are you doing in San Antonio? And I say, oh, you mean the second largest city in the Southern United States? And they go, what? And I said, yeah, we're the second largest city in Texas. No. That's Austin's the largest city in Texas.
No,
and I said, oh, we love our sister city, Austin. However, I think they're number six behind Fort Worth.
Yeah.
And they go, what? You know, because they think, because they all go to South By. So they think Austin is like South By every 365, right? So it is really telling that and getting people to wise up about San Antonio. And then they say, wait a minute, you have a CIA campus there? We thought that was only California and New York. I'm like, no, it's guess what?
Oh, the food scene in San Antonio. We could do one whole episode on that.
Yes. So it's we have some programming called the Mercury that we're going to be talking about soon that's more about the culinary side of things.
Nice.
Ooh,
I was doing
the whole art in and of itself. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and you honor at the Celestial Awards.
We honor that at the Celestial Awards. We about half the awards are named for women. I purposely name them by their first names to beg the question of who they are. So let's hope 20 years from now or 2 hours from now or a kid or a person or somebody says, who's Lila?
Right.
Or who's Rosemary? What's the Rosemary?
Yeah.
Oh, glad you asked.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the Rosemary Kowalski. And guess what? It's because she's this, that, and such, right?
I
and so we
that.
Keep that story alive. Her last public appearance was at the Celestial Awards on stage, standing ovation, 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Jamie and the whole family were so incredibly thrilled about it.
Yeah.
And so many people, I have to say, thanked our whole organization, not just me at that, but on behalf, I guess, of me, you know, at the really what a party that was after the funeral, just as Rosemary planned. You know, she knew, so she planned it.
Oh, yeah.
And they were just so thankful that sort of that was her last big thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, the red carpet pictures are so amazing with her.
I know.
But yes, we're very excited. That is for excellence. And these are all media and entertainment categories. So that's culinary arts and hospitality entertainment, which is a vertical within the media and entertainment. Diana Barrios Trevino got that award last year. year. She's coming back to present this year to Elizabeth Farso, who we know originally from Pearl, and then now, of course, her own empire that she's built with EBF design and development. So we're very excited about that one. One of the first things I did when we decided to do these awards, and Eileen and I were huddling, and then brought it to some more people, really workshopped it. And I had the great fortune of interviewing Carol Burnett a few times over the years. And every time I interview her, San Antonio comes up we have that in common. And she's told me so many great anecdotal stories about San Antonio. And so I reached out to her folks and said, hey, it's Cecily again, and we're doing this thing and it's called this. And they were like, Oh, yeah. Carol's in. Aww. I said, well, will she come? And that they can't commit to, And she's doing Palm Royale. I mean, come on. She's like, she's got a production schedule now. but it keeps getting renewed.
Yeah.
But in any case, she doesn't travel much anymore. Mm-hmm. But our first award that we announced was the Carol.
Yeah.
And what a way to launch. Yeah. I mean, we're like, oh, thank you, our patron saint, Carol Burnett. And perfect. And she wrote a beautiful, long endorsement of our event. It's on our website. You can go read it. It'll bring you to tears. Aww. But she talked about growing up on Commerce Street with her grandmother and then steps from the Knicks building, which she was already, she was also born at the Knicks.
Whoa.
Talked about the Majestic Theater. She and I had conversations about it, and it's in her statement about the very first use of the word vaudeville was in San Antonio. The first vaudeville theater was in San Antonio, where Bill Miller's is across from there. That's now not Bill Miller's anymore. I don't know what that's going to be. But so she, references those things in the statement, which is quite something. So we have incredible with these awards that we've named for women, and they're all endorsed by the women or their families. The Irman Nicolas Award. Guillermo Nicolas is a big fan of what we're doing. He and I go way back in New York, but of course he's a great San Antonian.
Yeah.
And that's another example is, of course, Emilio, the father, and of course you see their name on TPR. We're also partners with TPR. And their wonderful, incredible new CEO, Ashley Alvarado, is a rock star. But you see the name, we have to remember that there is, I don't want to say the woman behind the man, the woman alongside the man.
Alongside.
It's not necessarily platformed. So that's why we have the Irma Award. This year it's going to Megan Crate, who's the executive producer of Texas Monthly, executive producer of Landman, and many other great shows that you know. Adaptability, again, this is the through line of what you're saying that's so smart, is going back to what's next. What's next is existing already. It's the platforms of technology and the brains and the vision and the risk that people take. I mean, think about that. Dan Goodgame was the editor-in-chief at the time. He's sitting on this library, rich library of content, using the C word, right? Content, and says, let's leverage that thing. Let's monetize it, right? Which they were late to the party doing, but at least they're doing it. And Megan, that's her role there. And so they take, that started out as an article called Boomtown, which then the derivatives start happening from that premium original tentpole IP. Next thing you know, it's a podcast. Next thing you know, it's developed into the series, which is called Landman, number one streaming show. We're honoring Paulina Chavez this year with our Celestial Rising Award, which is our education program. And I'll stop telling you all the awards. You can go to the website.
I know. Don't give it all away, sure.
You can go to the website.
Go to the website, see. Come to the awards. Mm-hmm. Yes. Love to have you. There's not too many. I mean, you've got a full house already. So if you want a seat, grab it.
We do. Yeah. I do have to mention just a couple more awards, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Because they're incredible women who also are North Stars. They're kind of a 1-2 punch on your question. Secretary Hope Andrade, who's an amazing human being. Jenny Carnes, who's head of San Antonio Sports.
Guest on the podcast.
Yes, I don't want to leave people out, but I'm going down the list in my head here. Dr. Kate Rogers, recently at the Alamo Trust, but a long history. She's getting our storytelling award, a long history in storytelling and the Charles Butt Foundation and such. And the list goes on. But we have remarkable women that we are honoring this year.
And I can't wait. I can't wait to be a part of it. Thank you for having me on it. Thank you for being on our podcast,
Cecily.
You. We're going to do some rapid fire questions and
sure.
wrap it up. Carrie, you want to start?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to get a sip of water for this one. And this beautiful gift you're giving me.
Yes, of course.
This isn't pay for play.
This is visual.
It's a gift.
The visual is a water bottle. You're only allowed water bottles in the podcast studio, so we
you can hear it clinking.
A Maven.
Okay. All right. I'm ready. I'm ready.
Tea or coffee? Which one? Do you like tea or coffee?
Oh, God.
You can't choose.
I drink tea. I start with 3 cups of coffee in the morning and drink tea all day.
Oh, amazing. Okay, great.
We haven't heard that answer.
Yeah,
I love that.
We haven't heard that one. Yeah.
Favorite smell?
Probably fresh corn tortillas.
Oh, made it
growing up on our little ranchera in Acapulco.
Okay.
on the comal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, you're a writer, but you're also, you've been doing production. Mm-hmm. So what do you prefer, reading or watching?
Definitely writing.
But
so that would be reading. Yeah.
Okay.
Favorite sandwich?
Well, I don't eat bread unless, I'm celiac. I eat, but if I did eat a sandwich, growing up having a great grilled cheese.
Yeah.
Dipping it in that.
Tomato soup.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
The one in the can.
Yeah, I know. Campbell's it's so good.
Made with milk. Made with half and half.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
What's your favorite nonprofit event of the year that is not yours?
Oh, my gosh. There's so many.
There are.
Oh, my gosh. There's so many. I have to say, I wish I went to more or was invited to more in San Antonio.
Yeah.
I need to get in this.
Everyone,
I've been back.
She's available. She's ready.
I've been back a while, but also COVID.
Yeah.
Right? And so I was also living up in the Hill Country and transitioning back. So I need to do much more of that, actually. I have some in New York, but I love to go to the Met Gala, but that's like who's on everybody's list,
that's the first time we've gotten that answer.
Yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Well, somebody said to me somebody in New York said this to me that I think I've told Paige this, that because we have a theme each year for the Celestials.
Yeah.
They said, "Oh my God, you're doing the Golden Globes meets the Met Gala," and I'm like, "Please let that be what happens. We'll give us 10 years, we'll get there."
Amazing.
I'm gonna need some fashion help then, man.
People are taking my phone is blowing up with texts. People are like, "Oh my God, I bought this thing," or "I'm pulling this thing from my closet." People are wearing hats and boots, right? And I'm like, well, you do what you want. Like,
that's
it's a
right.
very chic.
Express yourself.
Like ball gowns with rhinestones and boots,
I love it.
That's Texas.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's Texas. Thank you. Thank you for all you've been doing.
Oh.
Thanks for coming on the podcast. This has been very highly interesting to both of us.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
for
good.
Sure.
Well, I can't wait to share it because congratulations to what you two are doing. You found a need. You found an addressable market and audience, and you're doing it. That's the thing. You're not talking about it. You're doing it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I admire you both greatly. Thank you for having me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.